Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. Good to have you along, ruling along as we count down summer. You know what's pending. Our tour of Oregon opponents continues. Destination Boise State. Big game here, week two. Our guest covers the beat for the Idaho Statesman online, idahostatesman.com. He's a Virginia native, James Madison grad. On Twitter, use the handle at Ron_BroncoBeat. Ron Counts joins us. Ron, appreciate you taking some time. How's life treating you there in the 208?
It's another smoky day here in Boise, but we're getting a little bit of rain, so maybe a little reprieve from the heat, so we can't complain.
You know, I want to start with your time at the Charlottesville Progress in Virginia when the UVA basketball team had that wacky back-to-back seasons with they're the first number one seed to lose to a 16, and then they follow up by winning the national title, which, as you probably recall, included knocking off the Ducks in the Sweet 16. Just, I know you only covered them the second year, but take me through what a wild ride that was.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, one of, if not the greatest comeback story in college sports. I mean, I'll never forget the scene of Kyle Guy after that loss to UMBC just on the court bawling his eyes out. And he talked a lot that next year about how it took him a long time to get his confidence back. And that whole season, you know, I'm not a guy that really believes in teams of destiny, but if there ever was one, it was that basketball squad. You look just at the tournament games they won. I mean, you mentioned Oregon. They only won that game by I believe, 4 or 5 points. Then you look at Kihei Clark as a freshman to have the presence of mind to make that pass to Mamadou Diakite to get him past Purdue. And then in the Final Four, they knock off Auburn after Kyle Guy is fouled on a three-point shot. And then, you know, poetically, they go to overtime to win the national title game. So it was an amazing run, an amazing experience for me. You know, I was on the road for almost the entire month of March that year. It was one of the coolest experiences of my career for sure.
Yeah, hey, culminating in a title, not so bad. Of course, now we've got this playoff expansion in football. And when it comes to Boise State, I'm thinking of 2006, 2009, when they were unbeaten, won a major bowl, and they would have qualified. I know coaches and players like to focus on the one game at a time, but as the favorite in the Mountain West, seems like a big opportunity. Fair to say that the potential to get in the mix kind of at least looms over the program now.
I would even take it a step farther and say that they got to be one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to make that CFP appearance. I mean, you look at it this year, the pieces are in place in terms of players on the field. You know, they got two former five-star recruits they brought in this year. They got a new coach, and the players love him to death. The schedule pans out. You know, they don't face Fresno State or Air Force this season. So I really think, you know, at worst, they're a 11-1, 10-2 type of team. And you look at the G5 landscape, you know, it's changed so much with teams leaving for the Big 12. You look at who's going to compete against them for that top spot. It's going to be Liberty, who plays a pancake schedule in the Conference USA, Tulane, and maybe a Texas State. So I got to think that Boise State's a realistic option for that sixth spot.
Talking Boise State football, Ron Counts, Idaho Statesman. You know, last year, a little bit of turmoil. I think I read that was really the first time that they fired a head coach, Andy Avalos. Enter Spencer Danielson, who's been with the program for 7 years, took over late, won the conference title. How would you describe the level of support in kind of dropping that interim tag and giving him the gig full time?
You know, Spencer was really a dark horse candidate for this job. I mean, there were many guys that they interviewed that had more experience, you know, one being Bronco Mendenhall, who was at Virginia and took the New Mexico job. But Spencer he proved in the last half of last season that he has the support and the love of the locker room. And that's so important these days, you know. Players have more power now than they ever have because of NIL, because of the transfer portal. They've got to love the guy they're playing for, and these players love Spencer Danielson. He went undefeated last year in his final three regular season games, led him to a conference title. You know, you got to give him a mulligan for the LA Bowl. It was a tough situation. You know, you got a redshirt freshman quarterback making his first start against a top 10 defense at UCLA. So that was just a no-win situation. But I think he's the perfect guy for this job. You know, he knows how to recruit. He's a proven recruiter. He's got the support of the locker room. He says all the right things. So now he's just got to go out and produce.
You know, when people think about Boise State football from the outside, they probably don't default to the offensive line. You wrote about this being a veteran group, despite the fact they lost the right side, but with Mason Randolph at center, Ben Dooley, the senior left guard. What do you like about this group? What makes you think there would be such a key to this offense?
Well, the offensive line has really been a recruiting emphasis for this program the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, you look at the end of Brian Harsin's tenure here, and that was really, that group was a liability. You know, they had a great player in Ezra Cleveland, but as a group, they weren't very good. This group over the last couple of years has become stellar. They got four players back with starting experience. You know, and they had a freshman at left tackle last year that started all 14 games. They're a really solid group, and the crazy thing about this group is that they're only going to lose one guy next year. Ben Dooley, the guard, is the only for sure guy that's going to be gone. So this line could be good for the next several years to come.
And, of course, for those just catching up, their new offensive coordinator is known here, there. Dirk Cutter is back. Kind of an interesting path. He'd spent a decade and a half in the NFL. He was an analyst there, an interim coordinator. What about having Cutter back calling plays following, I guess, his unique path?
Yeah, Dirk Cutter might be their secret weapon this year. I mean, he's a guy, that, as you said, he's been all over. He's been a head coach at college, a head coach in the NFL, an OC in the NFL. He worked with guys like Matt Ryan, so he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the most out of players, and he's already proven that he can do great things with his offense. Back in 2022, when they fired Tim Plow, their OC, midway through the season, Cutter took over, and his offense was different for the second half of that season. They went from 2-2 to 10-4 that year, and in big part because of Dirk Cutter. So I think he's going to be huge there. I think he already understands how to win games, how to get the most, especially out of quarterbacks, and that's going to be huge with Malachi Nelson there. So, like I said, I think he's their secret weapon.
A few final thoughts. Ron Counts, Idaho Statesman. Folks should become familiar with the name Ashton Ginty, their stud back. I think he missed 2 games injured, but, man, 1,900 all-purpose yards. I know he's 5'9", but he's built like a fire hydrant with speed. How dangerous, for folks unfamiliar, is this young guy, the reigning Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, Ashton Ginty is a man. That's the best way to put it. Spencer Danielson said it. When he showed up as a freshman, he was a grown man. You mentioned he's only 5'9", but, man, he is built. He has got a low sense of gravity. He squats more than 600 pounds, and he's just got it, you know. His balance contact is amazing. I can't tell you how many times guys have hit his legs, and he somehow keeps his feet, or he hurdles a guy, or he just runs through a guy. He's strong. He's powerful. He's fast. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. I think he's a legitimate Heisman contender. He obviously has some things working against him, the big one being that he's not a quarterback from one of the premier conferences. 7 of the last Heisman winners have been quarterbacks from the Big Ten or the ACC or the SEC. So, you know, he's got to overcome that. But, I mean, look what he did last year, a little over 1,300 yards rushing, 19 total touchdowns, 5 receiving touchdowns. I think he's the total package. He's got a chance to be the first running back off the board in this next draft. So if he can stay healthy, the sky's the limit for Ashton Ginty and this offense.
Yeah, and for folks who didn't catch it, that's with missing 2 games. I want to get to the defense, who finished really strong those last 4 games before the bowl game. They only allowed between 14 and 20 points. Based on what you wrote, it seems like they could stop the run, an elite edge guy, deep linebackers. What should we know about this BSU defense?
I think that's a unit. The defense is going to be much improved this year. In the first half of last year, they were a bit suspect. They were, you know, when they got to the quarterback, they were good. But when they didn't, quarterbacks were able to pick them apart. But as you mentioned, after Spencer Danielson took over late in the season, they played ultra aggressive. They were pressuring quarterbacks. They were forcing turnovers. And I think this is a unit that's going to be much, much improved, especially on the front. You know, defensive line depth has not been the greatest here for the last 4 or 5 years. And this year, they've got, you know, they can go 3 deep on the interior of the line. You mentioned Ahmed Hasmi, who had 12 and a half sacks last year. They brought in Tavion Woodard, a defensive end from Ball State, who's got 20 career sacks. I really think that line's going to be much improved. They got Andrew Simpson, who's one of the best linebackers in the conference. And then their safeties are just absolutely stacked. Remember the name Ty Benefield. He's a safety who started five games last year as a true freshman and looked like an upperclassman. I mean, he's 6'2", 200, plays the ball well, rushes the passer, tackles well. I think this defense has a chance to be the best in the Mountain West.
The last thing I want to close with is kind of a general question because, as I mentioned, you grew up back east, you've been out here, you follow the college game really closely, and just this altered landscape where you have Stanford and Cal in the Atlantic Coast Conference, Oregon, Washington, the LA schools in the same league as Rutgers and Maryland. I'm just curious, as somebody who's a big fan of the game, what's your read on all this?
I don't like it. Obviously everyone's chasing the money. Money rules everything around us, to quote Biggie Smalls, but I just don't like it. Regional rivalries are the most important thing in college sports, in my opinion, and you're going to lose those with a lot of these moves. And beyond football, think about this. Think about Stanford softball and soccer and volleyball. It's got to travel across the country. Those programs already don't make any money. They're going to be losing even more money. It's going to be a disaster. I would bet that it only lasts for 3 or 4 years, and then things change.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was born and raised in Jersey. I've lived here for 30 years. If you'd have told me sometime Oregon and Rutgers were going to end up in the same conference, Ron, I'd have thought everybody had completely lost their mind, yet here we are. But anyway, appreciate you getting us up to speed on Oregon's Week 2 foe. It's going to be a huge game. Online, check out IdahoStatesman.com. On Twitter, the handle is at Ron_Brown. Bronco Beat. Hey, Ron, terrific stuff. Dynamite information. Appreciate the time. You be well, and look forward to catching up again game week.
Appreciate you, man. Have me on anytime.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Take care.